Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
we settle the age-old debate, which is the best music format?
That's easy for me. I have my entire collection on mini disc.
That's absurd. All right, guys, from time to time, we get feedback from the listeners. Mm-hmm. We always make it a point at the end of every show to tell people how they can correspond with us.
Yeah.
And when we get good feedback, we like to highlight it, right? Isn't that the whole point?
That's the whole point.
Close the loop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm Sam Lisker.
Sam's with us all week. And now that he's back in the area, back in Northern Virginia, we'll have him on some more, right?
I think so.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So as part of Intern Sam Week, we're going to spend the next couple of days reading some correspondence that we have received from other listeners, and we're going to start here. Today's theme is Record Store Day.
Mm-hmm.
And did you do any shopping on Record Store Day, Sam?
I sadly had class that day, but my brother did shopping for me.
Priorities.
Good he did. Him. Yeah, he's a good guy. And I
what did he get you?
He got me the David Bowie Let's Dance, and then he did a he got me another one that was just a free one that he did not want, so he just gave it to me. He just said, "Here you go." And I think as a joke, I forgot what the name of the record was, but as a joke, somebody put it up on Discogs for $7 million. That was hysterical. I haven't listened to it yet, but I need to make it a priority too.
I wonder if anybody has that much in their PayPal account. It's a lot.
No.
So we got here an email from Jesse Morin.
Yes.
About Record Store Day and solving a dilemma that guys like Patrick and I have currently and Sam may face somewhere down the line, right?
Oh, man.
Jesse says, "Hey, Jim. Hey, Patrick. I found the solution to keeping your spouse happy when Record Store Day comes along. Buy your spouse vinyl too."
Ding, ding, ding.
He has three exclamation points. He says, "The past few years, I've stood in line for 3 to 4 hours every Record Store Day and even Black Friday Record Store Day." That's a little special thing they do on the day after Thanksgiving,
that's
right?
That's a thing.
Yeah.
"I always have a budget in mind and I try my best to keep on budget. Then one year it dawned on me, if I find something cool for the wife, she won't be as mad if I go over budget."
Smart.
So he says, "Like clockwork, Record Store Day not only meant cool stuff for myself, but also something different for the wife. This year, I really didn't have a top item to get, but several items stuck out to me. My haul this year consisted of the Shins versus Los Lobos by Third Man Records, which is absolutely great." Do you know that one? Is it like a split single or something like that?
"That's another pointless year, foaming at the mouth.
He says it's on translucent purplish vinyl.
Okay.
Purple-ish. He also got the Flaming Lips collaboration with Dogfish Head on pink vinyl. Mm-hmm. Sadly, the Beerfield edition wasn't in the cards. And Dogfish Head Music to Drink Beer and Make Love To at some compilation or something. I think they put together
that one,
which I believe is their fourth entry into Record Store Day. Then he says, "For the wife, a huge Madonna fan, I picked up the Madonna picture disc and one of the Duran Duran albums. Mm-hmm. Overall, a successful Record Store Day and arriving home with vinyl for the missus meant I wasn't in the doghouse. I love so you guys. Smart. I listen every day and have been a loyal listener. Keep up the awesome work, Jesse Morin. Thanks, Jesse.
That was amazing.
Yeah, that was really great and very smart.
Yes.
You know, we're, as I say, probably every week, Jim, our listeners are smarter than we are. They figured it out.
Do you employ this strategy?
No, I haven't, which is probably why I only end up drinking beer and not drinking beer and making love. So maybe if I try that next year, it'll work out better for me. I'm taking Jesse's advice at the next possible record day.
I have done this before, actually Record Store Day. A couple of years ago, I picked up some things for myself, and then I got Katie it was actually a CD box set of the first six Ramones albums, like all remastered
right
on CD.
Yeah.
And she's more of a CD listener than a vinyl listener anyway, probably her favorite band. Yeah. So she got a nice little box
so
set
smart.
There. With that. Yes.
Okay. I need to be less selfish than go to Record Store Day.
Okay, so that's one email we got. Mm-hmm. Now, the next one kind of sort of relates to Record Store Day. It's he's commenting on a comment that somebody else made when we did our Record Store Day episodes, but it kind of goes off in a different direction. I want to hear what Sam has to say about this. Okay. This is from Stephen
Routledge.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Heard from him.
Jim and Patrick, greetings again from the UK. That's the United Kingdom, not the University of Kentucky.
Whoops.
As you mused when I last emailed you about the Afghan Whigs cover Band of Gold. Just finished listening to episode 337 and was prompted to email in by something your guest Scott Parks said about the collecting of vinyl versus CDs and the use of streaming services. I have to confess, I am one of the refuseniks who still buy CDs as the main way to consume music. Hmm. I do use the internet to discover new music, including listening to rock in the suburbs every day, of course. For me, it's a matter of control and practicality. I want to be able to control my access to the music I want to listen to, not be at the mercy of a streaming service, and not being able to find and listen to a specific track. Like yourselves, I'm sure, I have plenty of music that may not be available on Spotify, Apple Music, etc. Making an aside here, we just did a whole week.
We just did.
Of songs like that. Back to the letter. I also started buying music in the mid to late 80s when CD was just starting to boom. Mm-hmm. I got on board then and have kept going. My collection currently stands at 1,200 plus CDs. I don't want to start again with vinyl. I have it all ripped to my computer and have copied it all onto a large SD card that lives in my phone, meaning I have access to everything I own wherever I am. Hmm. And aside from me, I didn't know they made SD cards that big.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's incredible.
Then he says, because I work in plenty of areas in the Scottish Highlands where there is no mobile signal at all, streaming is useless to me. Okay. I know the ability to download is there with the streaming services, but I don't want to have to plan my days listening in advance. I prefer to listen to whatever my mood suggests. By sticking with CDs and ripping it to my PC/phone, I can dial up Teenage Fan Club's B-side cover of He'd Be a Diamond. When the tape runs out, the music keeps playing. When the walls come down, it's still hard to cross the line. And when his love is gone, he says he still needs her. Or Ultrasounds, Air and Calder, anytime I want. If you ever fancy doing a deep dive on Teenage Fan Club, my all-time favorite band, then I'd be happy to chip in with some thoughts. Just booked to see them for the 14th time this October. Love the show. Keep up the great work. Steve Routledge.
Wow. That's amazing. That's a very well-reasoned argument.
I agree. And honestly, if you are working in a place where there is very little cell signal and you want to keep all your music in a place where you can listen to it wherever you want, even when there isn't a chance to actually look for everything that you want, I think this is good. Yeah, I agree. I wasn't on streaming for a very long time, and I just got a Spotify a couple months ago. So for someone my age, I feel like I'm a little late to this too. But I've always been somebody that likes to have a physical copy of something that I own. I wasn't really all that big on paying $5 a month for music. It felt like I was renting it. It didn't really feel like I was keeping it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And but then I finally was like, well, you know, I should probably start doing it only because I can do it. But I can understand why someone like Steven wouldn't want to do something like this. So I think this is a completely fair argument.
All right, so let me ask you a couple questions here, yes. Sam. So first of all, will you reveal your age to the audience?
21.
21, okay. You, like most people, start getting into music around, I don't know, 10, 12, 13 years old, that kind of thing? Or is...
Oh, man.
So let's say about 10 years, you've probably been...
Probably maybe 5 or 6.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All
right. So you've really only, you know, grown up as a music fan in sort of the digital era, right? I mean... It's
kind of,
yeah, okay.
Kind of ish. My dad's old car had a cassette player, so that's where we first started.
Got it.
And but I remember when we did get our first CD player for the house, that was pretty cool. I'd never seen anything like that before. Yeah, we hadn't really had an entertainment unit like that. We've mostly just had, we started out with cassettes. We were on VHS for a very long time. And
okay. All right, this is interesting, because I was going to say, is, you know, even before streaming services was the era of iPods, when people had...
Everybody needed one. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody.
And you would start to buy stuff on MP3s, and there was no physical copy anymore, and just download it on there. So it's interesting now that physical has sort of come back, even among a younger generation of listeners, right? Because of that idea, like you're saying, of actually feel like you own... a piece of the music, right?
That too. And I think I talked about this back in October when I was last on. I also feel like this is a generation that has missed out. This is a group of people that wants to kind of experience what their parents experienced, the joy of spinning a record, the joy of, I don't know, breaking a tape when it falls apart. And I just feel like that's something that they hear their parents talk about it, and they go, well, maybe I want to tell somebody that when I'm their age. And then they go through and they go, oh, we spun records too when I was that age.
Oh, interesting.
Speaking of which, I just lost a Roxy Music cassette.
Oh, really?
To the snap?
Yeah, it just kind of fell apart.
So. I'm sorry.
It happens.
Yeah. Okay, now, Patrick, I've been to your basement, and I've seen that you have a sizable record collection. Yeah. I would say over 1,200.
Yeah.
But it's spread out across formats. So you have a lot of vinyl, but you also have a lot of CDs.
I do.
And you have a lot of cassettes too, right?
Yep.
So what's your feeling on formats, and how did you never really settled on one particular, right?
Yeah, I just started pretty much keeping everything my whole life. You know, when I started out, I just started doing it. But I think, you know, Steven's point is really well made. If you started getting into music around the time he's talking about in the late 80s, CDs were the everything, right? They were going to reissue every album ever made, and they were going to transfer it to this amazing format, and vinyl was going to be gone.
That's right.
It was just going to be gone. You know, nobody's going to make it anymore, and it sure looked like that was going to happen at one point. You know, the stream of new vinyl that was coming out was almost non-existent, and people were selling all their records and replacing their entire collection.
That's correct.
And you were buying those records that people were selling.
I was buying them back. Yeah, I didn't want to let go of them. You know, I always fell in love with the big art, and that was always my thing. I like to look at the art, and it's so much bigger and better. Yeah. But, you know, and I think your point too, Sam, really, really resonated with me in something you said about your generation missing out. I think now, at least I see this sometimes with my own offspring, you're so exposed in a way online. You know, you're doing Snapchat and you're doing Twitter and you're doing all these social media things, and you're constantly seeing what everyone else is doing. It's nice to be able to kind of retreat into your own little space where all that is kind of shut off, and you're just there with that little object and you're just dealing with it one-on-one. And, you know, I can see the value in that. I mean, just this weekend we did some hiking, and if you stop and you pull out your phone, the signal's not there all of a sudden. Like, you're so far up in the mountain, you don't realize, like, wait, I can't listen to this charming man. I really want to hear it right now, but I can't have it.
Right.
So you get this weird kind of sense of, you know, I don't know. It's not, well, it is kind of panic in a way and uneasy. So I see what you're saying. But yeah, for me, I've just not given up on anything. I don't like to give things away when it comes to music. And I've kind of built my whole collection around that. But I was hoping and buying vinyl that people were giving away. But I think really that time, you know, is really, really important. And music goes in cycles. If you think about it, you know, at one time, 8-track tapes were the state of the art, and everybody was going to buy 8-track tapes. And then cassettes came in, and then, you know, CDs, and now streaming, and who knows what the next thing will be.
Yeah.
But it kind of looks like vinyl is making a resurgence, and cassettes are too. So, but I think if you reason it out as well as Steven did.
Well, yeah. So a couple of things. So I was just looking around because I thought I had sitting over here in the basement my old iPod, but it's not sitting there. I don't know where it is now. But
how old are we talking?
But, well, I guess I got that I don't know. When was iPods a big thing?
I'm already lost. Did it have the click wheel?
It did have the click wheel. It was a little bit. It was like a fourth or fifth generation. Yeah. One, so it was okay. Pretty thin. Nice.
Yeah.
Probably mid-2000s. Something like that.
2006.
But I'll tell you, that was a marvel. When that came along and you could just basically put your whole collection in this one thing that you could carry around.
Unbelievable.
You know, and you know, there was no issue with cell service or anything like that. Because like you said, you're ripping it all and you're getting it all there. That was an amazing thing.
True.
The amount of time it took to rip all the stuff was like having a part-time job.
Yeah, you know? Pretty
that
much.
Took forever.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But that was it. But I always tried to get the one that had like the most storage available so I could just have like anything and it would always be available. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, let me address the comments at the time in the Scott Parks episode he's talking about. We sort of were saying that CDs today have this feeling, maybe like cassettes did at one point or whatever, that they're kind of disposable.
That's right.
Right? Because vinyl has come back in a way that it seems like the labels that are putting stuff, new stuff out, have put such an emphasis on the packaging and the color of the record and you know, all the little inserts and all this kind of stuff that if you buy the same thing on CD, it just doesn't feel special in a way.
Yeah.
And I also think part of it too is there was a period of time when CDs were, you know, still selling, but maybe on the decline when you know, had like, remember America Online?
Oh yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. I remember. Yeah.
And you would get a CD in the mail like every week, right? And that gave it, it was a CD-ROM, but it was sort of like the format just started to lose some of the luster that it had at one point, where it's just something you throw in the garbage when it comes. It must have cost them a nickel or whatever to put this out and send it to you. And you're just like, whatever. Because if you rewind, if you go back when CDs came out, they seemed like space-age technology. It seemed like the coolest thing.
Yeah.
Like no more, you know, putting this arm, you know, and this needle and might scratch and, you know, you got to change that out and everything. And it's not portable at all because, you know, you can only play it on your stereo at home and they're big and bulky and heavy and everything. Suddenly now you have this little, nice little disc and it's played with lasers, right? And you can skip ahead to the next track or you can put it on shuffle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can put it in the car. You know, they never really mastered the disc, man. So it wasn't as portable as the cassettes were, but close. But anyway, it really did seem like, what do we need these other formats anymore?
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of those people that felt that I got rid of all my cassettes. I was like, forget this. I hung on to a lot of the records, but I kind of just put them in storage somewhere. Yeah. You know, it didn't really, there was a while where I didn't have a turntable at all. Mm-hmm. And to me, it also sort of made sense at the time to want to have the whole collection be on one format.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, the simplicity of it or something, sort of the idea that like everything is, and you can, you know, you'd set them up in the little racks.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
You alphabetize them
in
and
the CD tower.
Like, this right here is my record collection, you know? And so it all made sense. And then, you know, like kind of every step in terms of technology, you think like, this is the last thing. Nothing else can come after this. They've perfected it, right? But of course, that's not the case at all. And it's really interesting to see the decline of CDs, you know? So now I have stuff on vinyl because I buy a lot more of that cassette, and I still have my CD collection.
Yeah,
and
good collection.
Occasionally, I still buy CDs. Usually, the way my thought process works on this is I try to buy physical media as much as I can, especially if I really like the album or the artist, because I feel like it supports them better and it gives me that sort of connection to them in some way.
Mm-hmm.
But I also will make a decision. Like some bands like I really, really like. And so I want to buy the record because that's like the most expensive and the big thing and all the artwork and all the love that goes into the record. Right. Mm-hmm. And some also artists, you just feel like they sound better on record.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're a vinyl kind of band. And then other ones where maybe I like them a lot, but don't love them yet, whatever. So I want to buy something. So then I look at like, because I love getting back into cassettes, and usually a cassette you can get for like $8 or something like that, right? So I'll use first see if they have a cassette, and if they don't have a cassette, then I go to the CD and I get that. So there you go. And then occasionally too, also think of kind of going back to like, is this a vinyl band or not? I've even done this before. Like there's a band called Wolf Alice.
Yep.
That's a modern band, but they have kind of a 90s sound to their music. So I'm like, they're more of a CD band.
That's funny.
Like, that's a band you should listen to on CD.
I like this.
You know what I mean?
Classification.
But like the Jason Isbell, that's a vinyl kind of thing.
Right.
He sounds like he should be on vinyl.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly right. Needs a little crackle to his music.
Right. Yep. That's right.
Totally makes sense.
Yeah.
So I don't know. So
like
now
this
stuff is all split up and everything. But I also don't don't listen to a lot of streaming at home. Are you like this?
Yeah,
like when I'm at home and I have my collection, then I pull something out and I want to listen to that. Mm-hmm. For me, the great thing about streaming is the ability to like just have it on at work or in the car.
When you're exercising, something
yeah,
like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. My running playlists, all that kind of stuff. That is what's great about that. Yeah. And the discovery, of course, is huge, right?
Yeah, so, that's a big thing about it.
But I do kind of feel in some way that I'm just renting it, which is why I still buy physical for the
it's
bands
bothersome,
I like.
It's bothersome, isn't it? Yeah. And it's the same thing, too. I do video editing and photo editing. And when Adobe was like, oh, now you're going to pay a subscription for this software, I do it. But I'm very uneasy about it. I like owning programs, and it's sort of the same thing.
Yeah. Well, and I'll tell you, too, as you get older and have to manage a budget, all those little subscriptions, man, they really add up after time, you know? And
really
you get
true.
That monthly Visa bill, and you're like, man.
What are we paying for here?
Yeah. How will this happen?
Yeah.
Now, that said, we got these DVDs from Paul Trapper in the week.
Yeah.
I don't see myself ever really going back
to
like
DVD
buying and renting DVDs to watch movies. I mean, I bought that Johnny Cash thing. That was a different thing. But but to me, like streaming video is an amazing.
Oh, right. Revelation. Yeah,
right.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we now have the Jim Linehan system of classification, TM, up in the right corner. So I think when we start going forward doing our new music episodes, we have to get Jim to say, is this a CD band, a vinyl band,
or a cassette band?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
We'll I like that.
Okay. So there we go. Have we settled that?
I think so. Yeah. I think that was good. Steven, thank you very much for that.
Absolutely.
You definitely got us talking.
Really sparked a lot of thoughts there.
So I'd love to hear more about what people think about the different formats and what formats they prefer and the pros and cons and all that stuff, because it's all over the place now.
And I will also say I'm all in for a week on Teenage Fan Club.
Oh,
I love Teenage Fan Club too. Yeah, so let's do that. We'll coordinate with Steven on that.
And they have to be like national heroes in Scotland, right?
I can imagine.
All right. What else? So tell us what you think. Yep. Record store day, buying records for your spouse. Does anybody else do that?
Right.
And tell us
smart
about
enough.
Your feelings on formats. You can do all that by calling 612-440-1984.
There you go. In stereo.
1984. Leave a message, and then we'll put your voice on an upcoming show. If you'd rather email, as these two folks have, Jesse and Steven, you can email us rock@suburbspod.com. And if you're getting rid of any old CDs, cassettes, vinyl records, anything like that, email us rock@suburbspod.com and ask for our address. Mm-hmm. We'll take them off your hands. We'll tell you what that address is and where you can mail that stuff.
Next thing you know, you'll hear a beeping truck backing up in your driveway.
That's right. Because this is what? The Year of Free Stuff.
That's right. Year of Free Stuff.
On Rock in the Suburbs. Mm-hmm. All right. And then, we're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram at Suburbs Pod. We have a website, suburbspod.com, which Sam here maintains for us. Mm-hmm. And I think that's about it, right?
That's about it. Yeah.
We got one more episode this week, also showcasing
Friday
intern Sam Lisker.
Yes.
It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm Sam Lisker.
We'll talk to you tomorrow.
I don't want control of you. It doesn't matter to me. Very heart and soul of you. Places I want to see. I look in a different face.
That's what we didn't mention. The mini disc. What the hell was that?